This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today is June 12, 2008. Listen to these words. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's Apostle Paul that wrote those words in Colossians 1, verse 28. And in that chapter, the Lord was speaking through Apostle Paul as Apostle Paul was giving glory to God and for the gospel, the good news, the truth that's in Jesus Christ, how the Father has redeemed through his Son, through the blood of the cross, and offered redemption and forgiveness of sins. This great preeminent one, his name is Jesus Christ, was slain for the sins of the world. And this good news was distributed by many servants of Christ at that time, many years ago, as the church first was birthed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God grew, and many were converted, or changed, transformed, believing on that good news. But listen to what Paul says in this verse again, Colossians 1, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. We need to be warning people. We need to be telling people the truth of the gospel. We don't need to be angry or yelling or screaming or ranting or raving, but we do need to be warning people. And we need to let the Holy Spirit temper our words and the way we minister to people, but we've got to be sincere in what we say. If you are truly seeking the Lord in this urgent hour, and this is an hour of unprecedented, and there's been many times in church history that have been catastrophic, where great things have happened, but this is like one that's never seen before, and our Lord, Jesus Christ, will return in flaming fire, and taking vengeance on those that do not know him and have not obeyed the gospel. We need to be warning people, telling people the truth, and pointing to the signs that were listed by Jesus himself in the gospels, in the book of Revelation, the prophet Daniel, and other prophets like Isaiah. God gave us the scripture. It's perfect word, perfect message. Now we can't say that about religion. And don't let people use an excuse of church or churchianity or religious land. It's the Word of God. We need to be warning people, telling them the truth. And true ministry is for a purpose and has a goal. It is to prepare people for the coming of Jesus Christ, that they be ready for him, looking for him, found reflecting his nature. And another verse by Apostle Paul. And listen to this. This is in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Here again we have the passion of Paul, his motive, why he was laying down his life and beaten and shipwrecked and imprisoned. And he was the offscourge of the earth, mocked, ridiculed. Why? Because he was an apostle, a sent one by Jesus Christ himself. And there was other apostles, other prophets, other ministers that suffered horrible things, but they did it joyfully. Why? To reach people, to present people as a pure, chaste virgin to Christ. In our culture today, I realize people don't relate to the word virgin, don't relate to the word chaste. And again, this is why we need to be warning people, whether young or old. I'm thinking about the religious world and the popular things in churchianity today. It's a watered-down gospel. People are not told about the cost of truly believing on Jesus Christ. And you have to ask, what are they doing? What are these leaders doing? Why do they're seeking to have great crowds or followers of their ministry, but they're not leading people, for the most part, into the fear of the Lord, into the purity that's in Jesus Christ. And earlier in this Colossians, as I was reading this whole entire wonderful book, it talks about how our sins are forgiven, we're washed, we're reconciled to God, that our old sins are passed away, and we put on a new man, and the old man is done away, and we're not to be lying one to another, we're to be walking in love. And these things ought to be taught, but not a gospel without the salt, without light. If there's no distinction between the world and the religious world, the Lord will judge it. It's better to have the Lord build the house than to build a house in vain because the Lord's not involved in what you're doing. We need to warn people. Tell people about the earnest hour. God has been faithful in history. God warned Noah about the catastrophic flood that was coming. God was so outraged with the wickedness in the earth at that time, the wicked devices, perversity that was taking place. God had enough, but he spared the righteous man, Noah, and his family. God spared Lot. God spared baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. God does warn his people. If they'll listen to his voice, hearken to him. We need to be warning people. This isn't a day like usual. It's not a time to live like usual. It's certainly not a time to be religious as usual, because judgment will begin in the house of God. God is a gardener. He plants. This is the way it was since the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. God planted the beautiful garden, the paradise. And he had man till it, take care of it. And even in the gospel, the word of God is likened to a seed that's planted in man's hearts, whether stony, shallow, or earth that is filled with weeds that choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. In others, the seed of the word of God bears fruit, some 30, 60, or 100-fold. But God is looking for harvest. He's looking for good plant from good seed. Isaiah chapter 5, when God's historical people, Israel and Judah, God said in Isaiah 5, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. He fenced it. He gathered out the stones thereof. He planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard, what could have I done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what you will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall be not pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briers and thorns. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry." God is offended. We ought to warn the people, plant the good word of God, the pure word of the Lord, in truth, that they may grow up as a holy planting of the Lord that he'll have delight in. There comes a time when God says enough is enough. And in John 15, Jesus said this, "I am the true vine, my Father's the husbandman," which is a gardener. "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Do you have fruit? Are you a planting of the Lord? Are you abiding in him? Then ask righteous things, and God will answer you. This is your promise. But if you are wicked, if you have turned from him and you are broken off, you will wither. And God is counting the days when enough is enough, and he'll burn you in the fire. It's a fearful day to reject the word of the Lord. It's a glorious day to be abiding in the Lord. In Matthew 13, when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower and the seed, he said in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, will you then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In Luke 13, verse 5, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that you shall cut it down. The Lord's looking for fruit. He's looking for abundance, holiness. He's looking for salt. This is the time to warn the people of the truth. The Lord indeed is coming, and judgment first begins in the house of the Lord. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, wherewithal shall the wicked stand? We stand in a day where God has withheld the rain. California is under drought. Georgia has been in drought. We stand where crops are failing. The tomato plants have been recalled because of salmonella. The people do not realize what is taking place. The gold is losing. The silver is cancered. The people's banks are weak and failing. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their homes. But life goes on as usual. Read Amos chapter 4. God is the same. He's to be feared and respected, and give him the glory. Let's do his name. We've seen absolutely nothing as yet regarding the judgments that are coming forth, being poured out into the earth. You owe it to people to tell them the truth. Jesus must be the Lord. You must prefer him over every relationship, your own life, and the things you possess. Read Luke 15. It's coming so soon. This is the time to warn. A warning message. Warning is a message from love. If we have love, we need to tell people the truth.